Good morning, Poplar Springs. It sounded like you guys missed each other. That was a nice sound. I think I left my announcements in third grade, so I'm going to wing it, but someone holler at me if I forget something. The first announcement is that adult Bible study starts back this week at 6. At 6 in the sanctuary. Youth starts back this week as well, middle school and high school. We're all going to meet on Wednesday, but we're going to meet middle school first and then high school. I'll send an email out about that. And then once we see how many people, we'll see how that goes the rest of February, lumping everybody all together. Church council is not today, but it is next Sunday. If you came in this door, you notice some plastic bags on this front pew over here, and they are kind of like COVID goodie bags. If you need some hand sanitizer, I know that sounds weird, but if you need hand sanitizer or a free mask, or you know someone who might need those things, the health promotion team has left those on the front pew, and feel free to grab one and take it, or take it to someone who might need it. And we aren't having children church still. I know we have lots of kids in the sanctuary, but outside the back door and the front door, there are activity pages. One side is a coloring sheet, and the back side is the place for you to take worship notes. So please feel free to grab one of those. If you grab crayons, take them with you. Did you hear that, everybody? Take the crayons with you. Okay. Those are all the announcements today. It's great to see those of you who are here today with us in worship. We know lots of you are at home staying safe, and we respect that as well, and we're glad to have you with us.
I am surrounded on every side, can't see the light of day. But I am persuaded beyond all hope, you won't let go of me. I stake my claim on every word you say, you will not be late. I will sing through fire and thunder, 'cause you are on my side. I trust you with my life. I know my story, it isn't over. Even against all odds, you are a faithful God. You're faithful God. Darkest of weather, though I can't see, I still believe you're good. So I'm moving forward through crashing waves. I know I'm safe with you. You hold my life, you hear my cry with every breath inside. I will sing through fire and thunder, 'cause you are on my side. I trust you with my life. I know my story, it isn't over. Even against all odds, you are a faithful God. That's who you are. That your promises will hold together, and I will dwell in the hope of your love forever. I am convinced that your promises will hold together, and I will dwell in your love. I will sing through fire and thunder, 'cause you are on my side. I trust you with my life. I know my story, it isn't over. Even against all odds, you are a faithful God. That's who you are. Faithful God.
Good morning, Poplar Springs. A few prayer requests that we have for this week and for today. We want to be remembering Fred Bryant and his wife, Catherine. Catherine's in the hospital with COVID. Also, just so you know, Susie and Clyde are home. They had a difficult trip home with some car trouble, but they are safely home. We want to remember Tracy Zimborski, whose grandmother passed away this week. And also, we want to be remembering the family of Jessie Peeler and the loss of her uncle, Buddy Peeler. If you'll pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you on this beautiful Sunday morning with praise and thanksgiving for the many blessings of love, grace, and mercy that you give us each day, even though we often don't deserve it. God, we come to you with hope in our hearts for those that were named on our prayer list, as well as those unspoken prayers that we have. Father, we often wonder how non-believers are able to navigate life without your love, grace, and hope. So, Lord, show us how we can help them know you and the promises that you provide for all who believe in you. We pray as we go through this week that you would strengthen and prepare us to do your work and share your love wherever and whenever we are called. It's in your most precious heavenly name we pray. Amen.
There are people here. It's great to see you. It's good to see all this crowd here. We've got a good crowd. We're spread out, though, so that's good. We've got a sparse crowd, but it's good to see each and every one of you. Glad you're here today. The scripture I want to share today is a very elementary passage of scripture, and that's why I've called it Christianity for Dummies. So hopefully we'll today learn some things, and I'm going to classify myself as the top-notch dummy of them all, so I'm not calling anybody out, so just be sure of that. So I want to make sure we read our scripture this morning, which comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Some very elementary stuff. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Simple, isn't it? Let's pray together. God, it sounds simple, but it's very difficult to live the Christian life. But I pray, God, you'll help us to look to you for the strength and guidance we need, for the strength of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so that we may live the life you call us to do. People are watching and seeing what we do as Christians. I pray, Father, we'll set the proper example. I pray, God, you'll speak to us today as we share these words today. I pray that you'll speak and that we might hear you, that you'll get me out of the way so that folks can hear what needs to be heard. And I pray, God, and I thank you so much for the beautiful music we've already enjoyed and the music we'll enjoy further on. I pray, God, that you just speak today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The other day, I decided to crank up the old computer. I crank it up every day, but I cranked it up and decided to look up something. I did a search for all the titles of all those For Dummies books. I decided to look at all those. You can actually type in For Dummies books, and it comes up, and there are 340 titles that I found. I'm sorry I waited 53 years to become a computer guru, because this is so enlightening to hear this. In my search, I found that at that time there were 340 dummy titles. 340 titles. I'm going to share all 340 with you right now. Here are some of them that I found. Public Speaking for Dummies. Public Speaking for Dummies. If they have that one for Parkinson's, that baby's mine. I need that book. But I have, I do have that book. I have it on audio. It's called A Spouse. It's called A Spouse. And some every morning when I head out to do the sermon, she says, Andy, smile when you tell a joke. I said, I have Parkinson's. I am smiling. She says, be enthusiastic. I says, I'm enthusiastic. And if you use me as an example, I will retaliate. So I'll be talked to today, so you know that. There was existentialism for dummies. Existentialism for dummies. After numerous attempts at explanations from a number of smart people, I've yet to understand what existentialism is. I'm still learning what that one is, but that's a philosophical school of thought. There are other books for dummies. The Bible for dummies. I could use that. Logic for dummies. I definitely could use that. Algebra 1 for dummies. Algebra 1 for dummies. I took algebra twice in high school. I took it remedially at Clemson University. I took my algebra, and I think I learned it. X equals something. Organizing for dummies. Organizing for dummies. Have you seen my office? I need that book. I need that book. There's even one entitled A Little Bit of Everything for Dummies. And I'm assuming that was written by teenagers, because I was one at one time and I knew everything. Something about everything. But today we're looking at something else. After looking at our scripture throughout the week, I thought I could call this word from the Apostle Paul Christianity for Dummies. Christianity for Dummies. But I figured I might set our church up for a lawsuit, so I decided to call it The Christian Faith for Those Who Would Be Considered to Be Dummies. So that's what we're using today. Paul offers some elementary advice, some words of guidance and direction, even what seem to be many to be obvious things, things we ought to know, things that ought to be something that are just common sense, faith requirements. So let's keep it simple and let's get right to it, because there's a lot of stuff to look at. The first is this. Number one, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Love God and love others. According to Jesus, that's the greatest commandment. That's the commandment that all else is depend upon. Love God and love others. But be real, because God and people know when you're not real. They know when it's not real. They know when you love others for what they're able to do for you. When you find somebody nice, big, and influential, and you love them because they can do something for you. People know that. People see that. And God knows that. They know when we love because others are watching. You know, it's easy to be a loving individual when people aren't watching. You know, but go home sometime and see. You know, when I had young kids, you know, I told you numerous times about preaching about love, and I'd look out in the congregation and it'd be kind of see my family looking at me. They'd say, "Well, he didn't practice love this morning when he told us let's get in the car and let's go worship." You know, so love. When you love others because God says to, and he might get you if you don't love. You know, sometimes we love because we're worried about what God might do. If I don't love this person, if I don't care for this person, what kind of love is Paul talking about? That's something to think about. What's he talking about? And I know what you're going to say. You're thinking to yourself right now, well, Andy's going to quote 1 Corinthians 13. He's going to launch into that, and he's going to tell us what love is. But I've found not a better one. I should talk about 1 Corinthians 13, because there's so much there. So much love is patient, love is kind, and all the different attributes of love. But we've heard it so many times, sometimes it becomes cliche. It becomes something that we've heard so many times that it just kind of goes right by us. And we look at it and we hear those words and we go, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. But we don't let it register with us. So try these verses from 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. This is the message we've heard from the beginning. This is the message we have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Plain and simple, we should love one another. Verses 16 through 20. This is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to be willing to do the same. We ought to be willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Love involves sacrifice. Love is sacrificial. It means giving till it hurts sometimes. We must be willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him or her? Love is compassionate, empathetic, and generous. Love is generous. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. Love is active. It's a verb. It's doing something about it. Not just talking about it, but loving, being a loving person. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence when we do these things. There's so much in 1 John, I just can't stop at that point. Chapter 4, verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And finally, a convicting exclamation point for our times, for our times today. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Pretty convicting stuff. Pretty strong stuff about what love is. Can we do that? Is that possible? It is possible. What he's saying is real love has teeth to it. There's teeth in it. It means something. It's practicing what we preach. It's not as simple as saying, I love you. It's easy to say, I love you. It's easy to come up to somebody and say, I love you. I love you. But does it work out in their real life? It's meaning it. It's meaning what we say. Second characteristic of Christian faith is hate that which is evil and cling to that which is good. Hate that which is evil. I know we don't talk fondly about hating things, but hate that which is evil and cling to that which is good. It's human nature. Many do not hate evil. We don't hate evil. We hate the consequences. We hate getting caught. Have you ever been caught being less than your best? Have you ever been caught being less than your best, or maybe even evil? We get caught occasionally. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the evil of the tongue. That's what gets us in trouble a lot of times, and the poison it can spew forth. I remember when I was in college, talking about someone not in the best of terms in the cafeteria, just raking a guy over the coals, talking about how terrible he was. He was a friend. I was talking about him. I was embarrassed when I turned around, and there he was, listening to every word I said. I didn't like the consequences. I was embarrassed. We hate the consequences. We despise the consequences of getting caught. As a teenager, I bagged groceries. I did that for a couple of months until I realized that wasn't my bag. My tongue got away from me in the break room one time, and one of my coworkers said, Andy, I thought you were a Christian. That was convicting. I didn't like it. Didn't feel good. I think of times when I've been impatient, harsh, unloving, judgmental, like when you have kids. It gets that way. You get caught sometimes. You get caught in public. There have been times when you've been caught as well. You've been caught. We're imperfect human beings. We get caught being less than our best. I talk to folks at the post office or the grocery store or the pharmacy or the wait staff, and I ask them, often shock someone, I ask them, have you been cursed lately? And do you need to be? Have you been cursed lately? And it always starts a conversation. They've been shocked by those who've treated them with evil intent. Folks who've treated them badly, preachers, parents, professionals, some who've lost it, names were not named, but some of people who've lost it in the presence of these people. And my guess is these would be disturbed if they realized they'd been caught being an imperfect human being, being caught. And the resulting consequences, soiled reputations, a reputation that's hurt. We all value our reputations, tainted witness for Christ. You know, our witness just isn't quite as effective as it used to be. Our loss of credibility and respect when we lose it, when the tongue gets us in trouble. Consequences of evil that we hate. But we're called to hate evil. To hate evil. Not people, not just the consequences, but we're to hate evil. Despise the evil in the world. Do you despise it? Do you despise it? I'm afraid we're not shocked by the evil we see today. We're not shocked anymore. We've seen it all, we think. I mean, I think I've seen it all. We've been through 2020 and 2021 so far. We've seen everything. It seems we're not appalled by what people do out of the love for the almighty dollar. What people will do for a mighty dollar, the evil of idolatry, making the dollar our God. We're not surprised by that anymore. We're not shocked by selfishness running rampant. What's mine is mine, what's yours is mine too. And I definitely want what I'm entitled to. Selfishness. There are those intent on not being accountable to anyone, especially not God. I'm not accountable to anybody. I do what I want to do, using people for their own benefit. Terrible abuses of power. And we aren't shocked anymore when we see these things. We aren't shocked. That's just life in 2020 and 2021. We're far from hating evil many times, despising the wickedness that easily entraps us. It can get us. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, lists the evil that sometimes becomes all too familiar to us. He lists the evil, and here's the list. And you can find yourself somewhere on that list. I can find myself on the list. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. We aren't shocked anymore at these things, myself included. I'm not shocked. We need to be. Some are not embarrassed even if they get caught in some of these acts. They're not embarrassed. Some continue in sin, think they have a special deal with the Almighty. God's and I have a deal on this thing. And even pastors, we at times feel like we have a ministerial exemption. We can do things everybody else can't do because we're preachers. That's pharisaical. That's being a Pharisee. We realize that we hate the evil that's in the world. We don't hate people. We don't hate consequences. We hate the people. We all are Christians called to despise evil. Never forget that. But Paul doesn't end there. He doesn't stop there. And that's one of the things we need to remember. It's not enough just to shout and spout about how evil the world is. It doesn't end there. Cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. A Christian doesn't just see evil. He or she has an alternative. Cling to, espouse, share, and live the good. Live the good. Let others see Jesus in you. Jesus himself said it's not enough to clear the evil out of our lives. It's not enough to just clear the evil out. We have to do something about being refilled. And he tells us this in a parable that's very almost haunting and almost disturbing when I read it. A parable found in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places, seeking rest and does not find it. Then the evil spirit says, I'll return to the house I just left. I'll return to that house. And finding it empty, when he arrives, swept clean and put in order, and goes in and takes it with it, seven more spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. This is how it will be with this wicked generation. We need to put something back. Put the good back in there. It needs to be put back. Despise the evil, but don't forget the good and the righteous. It's obvious that I'm going to present a part two of this. It's too much information. I'm going to do this after Easter. I've got more of this to go. But we will continue with this after Easter. But until that, some good to cling to as you and I deal with evil. Some good to cling to. In Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. This is something to think about in being refilling with good. Refill with love. Love, we've already talked about that. Refill with love, with joy. Be a joyful Christian. This has been a harsh sermon today. But refill with joy. Have joy in your life. Be at peace. Be at peace. Fill your life with peace. Be a person of peace. Not only with your peace with your friends and enemies, but peace inside. Be at peace. Be patient. Now that one I've got an exemption for. I'm impatient, so Lord help me. Kindness. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. And the ultimate good is Jesus. We need to remember that. Jesus Christ is the ultimate good. His life and living within us. The Holy Spirit living within us. Get to know him today. He can create in you a clean heart. He can give you a clean heart and refill you with the good. And develop a love in you like no other. Develop a miraculous love that you can share with others. The question is today, is he calling you to follow him today? Maybe this is a first time commitment to Christ. Maybe you need to do that today. If this is the time, please do it. Maybe you're looking at your life like we all do at times and say, I'm not living as I should. I'm not committed. People aren't seeing Jesus in me. Maybe it's time to rededicate and recommit to the life of Christ in you. Should he speak to you today, let him speak and then respond as you see fit. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for the message that you share with us in the simple things. A lot of simple truths in the Bible, but sometimes we tend to focus on the complicated, the difficult, and we want to argue about those things. But Father, you tell us some simple things that we need to know as Christians, as followers of Christ. You tell us those things, and I pray, Father, we'll just follow through on those things. The Bible's a difficult thing to understand, a difficult book to understand. But Father, we see some definites in there that are there. We're called to love one another and truly love one another. We're called to reject evil, not people, but reject evil and reject evil in the world and despise evil and be refilled with good in our lives. Help us to do that today. Father, I pray that you'll speak to us in some way, fashion, or form today, that we may know the love of Jesus Christ in our lives and others may know it as well as they see it in us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you.
To see all of you here this morning. For those of you at home, we're glad that you've chosen to worship with us this morning. I want to remind you that Wendy Lemons is your Deacon of the Week this week, so if you have any concerns and you can't reach somebody at the church, Wendy will be happy to assist you, as are all of your other deacons. They're at the ready to assist you if you have anything this week that you need. I also want to remind you, if you have any decisions that you're making, if God is working in your heart, if you want to be a part of this church, if there's anything that God has been working on you in the past week during the service, please let us know. We would love to hear about that. We would love to talk with you about that. So don't sit on those decisions. Let us know about them. Can I see your eyes bright so I can see you're smiling? So one thing I miss about the mask is that I can't see your sweet smile. So I'm going to see your bright eyes. As we prepare to depart today, would you join me as we pray? God, we're so thankful for the chance to be back in your house together. And God, even though we still have restrictions and things still aren't quite like they used to be, God, just the fact that we're able to be together, to fellowship, to speak to one another, to see each other, to worship in your presence together. God, we're so thankful for that. God, we thank you for the beauty of the snow this morning, God, something that we didn't all quite expect. And God, we thank you for that. And God, we pray that as we go throughout this week, God, that you will remind us of the simple things that it means to be a Christian, God, but sometimes the things that we forget. God, to show love and to show compassion, to reach out and serve others, and God, to choose joy amongst all else. God, remind us of these things as we interact with each other this week. God, we thank you for this time of worship. God, may our worship not end once we leave these doors and these walls. God, but may our worship spill out into your world, that others may see our love for you and be changed as well. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great Sunday.